You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 11:01 Central Time, 12:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you pro-life activism from creation to death with Jim Sedlak.
Hello and welcome to pro-life activism from creation to death. This program is intended for all those who want to create a culture of life here in the United States. Each week, we bring you up to date on the latest news in the pro-life movement. Sometimes we have guests, as we will today, and other times we're just citing from news reports and what's going on around the country. And we're going to get into all of that in just a minute. But before we get into today's program, I'm asking you to say a Hail Mary with me to ask the Blessed Mother to shower God's graces on all those who are involved with or listening to this program, so that we will receive the message that she wants each of us to get at this moment. And so if you would join me, please. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you so much for saying that prayer with me. It is always a good idea whenever you begin a new activity during the day to ask Mary to shower God's graces on what you are doing. And that's why we begin every one of our programs with the Hail Mary. We have a packed show for you today. We're going to be talking about a number of different things, including a Supreme Court opinion that was handed down this morning in the heartbeat case in Texas, and also some other things that are going on and being announced, including a major change, positive change in a bill that is trying to get passed in the United States Senate. But before we get into those, I have a special guest on my show today. Last week, we had the director of the Marion Blue Wave from American Life League on our show, kind of teasing us to listen to a broadcast this week in which a special announcement was going to be made about the Marion Blue Wave. Today we have on our show the Director of Public Policy for American Life League. His name is Dwayne Currier. He has been involved in the pro-life movement for a very long time. In addition to all of his public policy work, he is a great videographer, a great social media person. He's just invaluable to us here at American Life League. Dwayne, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Jim, and I do appreciate being categorized as a special guest as opposed to a regular guest.
Oh, it's always special when I get to talk with you, Dwayne, and we deal with things. We do want to let the audience know now, Katie Brown teased us last week about what was going to be happening this week with the Marion Blue Wave. And can you fill us in on what the announcement was all about?
So if anybody listening is getting any of American Life League's emails and they're on the Marion Blue Wave list, then they would have gotten an invitation inviting them to watch our stream that we had this week making the announcement. So Katie and I talked for a good 50 minutes about what we can do to better pray the rosary when we're trying to fight the evils of abortion violence and shutting down Planned Parenthood and trying to defend the Eucharist from sacrilege. So in that announcement, released a new tool aside with the rosary to fight this evil. Because keep in mind, this fight against abortion violence, it's not just a fight against the people who want to pass laws decriminalizing the violence. It's not just passing laws that recognize it as a legitimate thing. It's not so much a fight against the men of this world, but it's a fight against the very evil that underlies abortion violence and why it's allowed to spread. So when you go out there and you're armed with your rosary to fight this evil, when you're armed with your rosary to shut down the Planned Parenthood, pray the rosary, but we've got something else to accompany your rosary, and that is our Marian Blue Wave prayer companion titled Pray the Rosary to Defeat Evil. This companion is used for prayer outside of Planned Parenthood facilities, in the privacy of your home, with your prayer groups, if you're regularly going outside of these facilities to pray. Now you have a prayer aid to accompany you in praying specifically for the Marian Blue Wave intentions, as well as fighting those evils that are running rampant within those facilities as well.
Well, that is certainly something that is much needed. What makes this prayer book different than many of the other prayer books are out there, or different than books that tell you how to pray a rosary?
Well, so there's the word that you use, the prayer book. So this isn't a book just with a bunch of prayers in it, because what do prayer books mean? A prayer book means it gives you prayers, for certain intercessions, prayers throughout the day. This one is we call it a prayer companion, because inside the book we have kind of like a recipe or a formula of prayers that you can pray alone or with a group, so that you're coordinated together to pray these prayers, so that your prayers with the rosary and in cooperation with the intercession of the saints are just better focused in trying to defeat these evils. It's just broken down into the Marian Blue Wave intentions. And within the intentions, you've got prayers specific for those intentions. We've got four of them. And in those intentions, you'll pray the rosary, and then we've got certain prayers and reflections based on those on the rosary that is being prayed for that intention. So if you feel like you're outside and you're praying your rosary and you don't have anything more you feel like you can do, well, there is more, because we're providing you with a prayer companion to help you in those prayers.
Well, that is fantastic. But one of the things I noted when I read the prayer companion is that this is not just something that American Life League did all on their own in their little corner of the world, but you have priests and bishops from all across the country involved in writing for this prayer companion.
Yeah, so it wasn't just Katie sitting in her office trying to come up with a bunch of prayers to put in this book. No, we've got contributors to the book. Some names should be familiar with your audience. So we got Bishop Paprocki. He contributed to it. Father Shannon Bouquet from Human Life International. We have Father Stephen Imbarato. He's known as the protest priest. He contributed to it. And everybody knows Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life. He also contributed to it. So we've got an army of priests who help us put this together, including American Life League's president, Judy Brown, who offered her reflections within the rosary. So this isn't just a bunch of, office interns trying to come up with some kind of a formula for praying to defeat evil. No, this is backed and written by and contributed by very holy men in the priesthood.
And men who are very experienced in fighting against abortion, in calling upon heaven to shower the fighters against abortion with the graces they need to go forward in the fight. One of the unique things about the book that I realized was you have what you call a monthly reflection. And 12 of those, of course, since there are 12 months, and I just found those very powerful.
Yeah, so we're in the month of December right now. So like the month of December, what would be the Marian? It says here that you would ponder as Mary, do as Jesus, ponder all the things that Mary kept in her heart. So you would use that monthly reflection on its own, or you can use that reflection to accompany that rosary that you are praying for the Marian Blue Wave intentions.
Great, great. The book, now, as I understand, you announced it this week, but it's because of paper shortages and stuff in the United States. The physical books won't be available until sometime in January, but you are accepting pre-orders.
Correct. So, it's unfortunate we have this book shortage, but that doesn't mean you can't place your reservation for the book. If you're familiar with the paper shortage, I just did a quick search on Twitter of paper shortage just to see what's going on in the United States in terms of the paper shortage. And just I see that hundreds of authors who are publishing books are experiencing the same problem. In fact, even the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, he's trying to publish a photo book of his 4 years, and he's not able to publish that as well because of what he says. Due to Joe Biden's disastrous leadership, we are facing a shortage of every product, including paper. That was just kind of – I thought it was a funny tweet that I saw. So it's not just us. It's not just, prayer books and prayer companions. It's everybody who's trying to publish a book. But that's okay. That doesn't mean you won't get the book. It just means we're just going to hold off until we can get that paper supply. Now, you're probably, thinking, well, if I go to church, I can get my bulletin every week. There doesn't seem to be a paper supply there. Well, our prayer companion is not printed on just regular white copy paper. We print it on this nice, thin, cream paper, kind of like that you would get in a Magnificat magazine, because when you're outside praying, the sun will glare on the paper, and you don't want to be squinting at your prayer companion. So it's published on a nice soft cream, so it's not too bright on the eyes. To get your copy, you can pre-order it now. To do that, you just have to go to the American Life League store, which is I'm going to give you the web address here. It is shop.all.org. That's shop.all.org. And if you go to the shop page, you'll see a tab for Marian Blue Wave products. It's up in the top bar. There's also a lower tab that has all the Marian Blue Wave products in it. You click on that. You'll see on the list a Pray the Rosary to Defeat Evil prayer companion. That's the prayer companion you're looking for. If you click on that, you'll be able to make a pre-order for that book. And here's the special thing, is people listening, if they want to get that copy now at a reduced rate, they can do that by placing the order from now until, I believe it's Monday, and they can get the book at a reduced rate of 20% by entering the code MBWBOOK, MBW being Marian Blue Wave, MBWBOOK. If you enter that code in the checkout, you'll get an automatic 20% off the book, which is regularly $9.95. You take the 20% off, you're going to get it for $7.96.
Well, that's a great deal. And even though we can't ship it immediately, that order will be taken at that price. And then the plus shipping and handling, of course.
Yes. If you're in a prayer group or in a pro-life group of some at your church or even on a college campus, by all means, try and get enough copies for your group, because then when you pray this together, you'll have a coordinated effort in fighting the evil that's in there. And that's the great benefit to this book, is that you're able to pray the rosary together. And if you want to spend 10 minutes outside that abortion facility, you can use this book. If you want to spend 3 hours outside of that abortion facility, you can use this prayer companion. Because keep in mind, 40 Days for Life, which is a very popular effort in praying to end abortion and shut down all these facilities, 40 Days for Life will be coming up in Lent, and you can use this companion together with your 40 Days for Life group to pray to fight the evil that is inside these facilities and defeat the evil once and for all.
A very great point. If someone that's listening wanted to listen to the 50-minute event that you put on on Wednesday night of this week, is there a way that they can go and they can actually see a recording of that event?
Yeah, the stream that Katie and I co-hosted together, if you go to the website all.org/webcast. Yeah, it's right there. The replay, you just click on that replay button and you can watch the whole presentation. That's at all.org/webcast. And there you'll see a video player for our special announcement, co-hosting myself and Katie Brown, the director of the Marion Blue Wave.
Well, that's terrific. Yeah, I know, Dwayne, that, you know, as director of public policy, you've been involved in this from the very, very beginning, which, you know, the Marion Blue Wave was launched a little over 2 years ago. It has been a tremendous success in terms of attracting thousands. We're approaching 5,000 people who are signed up as prayer warriors with the Marion Blue Wave, and those 5,000 people come from 31 different countries around the world, not just here in the United States. And from the beginning, you were advocating and pushing to have a prayer book, which we now have, and it's really fantastic. I want to thank you for all your work on this, and just ask you as we wrap up your segment here, what kind of message do you have for my listeners on the need for prayer outside of abortion facilities and the need for prayer to win this battle?
In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, and against the spirits of wickedness in the high places." Paul's reminding us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people in Planned Parenthood. It's not against the people who are passing the laws. We do fight them on some level in order to resist their efforts, but ultimately our battle is in the principalities and powers. That is why we have the Marion Blue Wave. That is why we want everyone to join the Marion Blue Wave, and that's why we want people to bring out their rosaries and get their Marion Blue Wave prayer companion so that we can defeat the darkness that is spreading throughout our country because of the wickedness that is abortion violence.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on, Dwayne, and we'll get you back on as this whole thing develops and unfolds.
You have a good Advent, Jim.
All right. Thank you. All right. That was Dwayne Currier. He's the director of public policy here at American Life League, and you heard him talking about the Marion Blue Wave and the new Marion Blue Wave Prayer Companion, which was announced this week. He's giving you the websites to go to find out further information and to order the books. And so we encourage you to do that. It's something that's very, very exciting. I know we're all a little disappointed because of the paper shortage that we didn't have the books available for the announcement, but they will be here by January is what our printing companies are telling us. So we hope that you'll take advantage of this, find out more about it. Again, go to all.org/event if you go there, you'll be able to click on the webinar and actually watch it and get all of the information that was given this week. So that's really great. Okay, we're going to move on to other news of this week, and there's some exciting things that are happening. And I want to be very careful on this first item because I don't want people although it's a very good announcement and it's very positive, I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying here. The Supreme Court today, this morning, came out with an announcement about the heartbeat bill in Texas. Now, the heartbeat bill in Texas is the law there that says that you cannot kill most babies by abortion once a heartbeat is detected. There are some exceptions in the law, so it's not, you know, a total ban after a heartbeat. But for most abortions, the law applies and has pretty much stopped abortions after about 6 to 7 weeks in the state of Texas right now. The unique thing about the heartbeat bill in Texas is that it is not enforced by the state. It's not enforced by the police or any state agency. The method of enforcement is by private citizens filing lawsuits against anybody who breaks that law. All right, so lawsuits against the abortionist, private lawsuits against the abortionist who does an abortion after the heartbeat can be detected and doesn't meet one of the exceptions, they can be sued. And so can anybody who helped that abortion happen. And that's been is stated, you know, as people who paid for the abortion, people who drove the woman to the clinic knowing that she was going to have an abortion. Anyone who is involved can be sued. And that provision has created a conundrum for those who support abortion and want to defeat things, because since the state is not involved in enforcing the law, they can't declare that what the state is doing is unconstitutional because the state isn't doing anything to enforce the law. And the provision of whether or not a private citizen can file a private lawsuit is not something that the Supreme Court has ruled on before, because it's a local matter. It's a state matter or a county matter. It is not something that rises up to the federal level. And so as a result of this, even though there are concerns about this and there have been lawsuits that have been filed, the Supreme Court has, while not endorsing the law itself by not saying that it is okay to pass a law like this, because of the novel way that it is enforced, the Supreme Court says this has to be examined in the courts. And while it's being examined in the courts, we will allow the law to remain in place. And so this law has now been in place for a couple of months, or almost a couple of months, even though there are questions about it, because there are no grounds under which the Supreme Court feels that they can stop the law from being in effect. And so that's been the case now. There was a lawsuit filed again to go to the Supreme Court. Actually, two lawsuits, one by abortionists in Florida, I'm sorry, in Texas, asking the court to halt the law, to stop it from being enforced. There was another lawsuit filed by the Biden administration demanding that the Supreme Court stop this law from being enforced in Texas. The Supreme Court issued a statement this morning. I say statement, they call it an opinion. Issued an opinion this morning in which the Supreme Court said that they will allow the law to continue to be enforced. Okay? So as a result of these additional lawsuits, the Supreme Court said, no, we haven't changed our mind. Now, the interesting thing in the opinion that was filed this morning is that the only thing they noted is that Justice Sotomayor dissented from that opinion. They didn't name any other justice that dissented from the opinion. And of course, Justice Sotomayor is one of the more liberal justices on the Supreme Court, one of the most pro-abortion justices on the Supreme Court, but so is Breyer and others and Kagan. But they didn't, you know, at least it wasn't noted that they joined in not agreeing with the court. So as of the opinion that was issued this morning, the law, the heartbeat bill, sometimes referred to as SB8 for Senate Bill 8, which was the number of the bill as it went through the Senate and House in Texas. The heartbeat bill or the SB8 bill is still in force in Texas. It has prevented most abortions after the heartbeat can be detected, and that's generally understood to be about 6 weeks of gestational age. And so that's good news. That's good news in that these abortions after 6 weeks are not going to be taking place unless they meet one of the exception provisions down there. So we were very happy to see that this morning. I just explained it as carefully as I could so that you don't think that this was the Supreme Court decision on other cases that have been heard at the court, particularly the Dobbs case. This has nothing to do specifically with the Dobbs case, which was heard last week at the Supreme Court. So I just want to be clear that, no, we're not talking about a decision in the Dobbs case, which is on a Mississippi law that outlawed most abortions after 13 weeks. This is specifically on the Texas law and did not rule whether the law was good or not. It only said that it can stay in enforced and be enforced by the private lawsuits. And although there's not been a lot of private lawsuits filed yet, the threat of the lawsuits is what's keeping abortionists in Texas from not doing abortions after 6 weeks. And so, I mean, very good news on what's going on there in Texas, and very good news on the Supreme Court decision from this morning. Okay. For those of you who are just tuning in, my name is Jim Sedlak, and you're listening to Pro-Life Activism from Creation to Death on RadioMaria.us, a Christian voice in your home. So far today, we've talked about the new Marian Blue Wave Companion prayer book that was released by American Life League, but contributed to by pro-life leaders across the country, including the head of Human Life International, including the head of Priests for Life, and a dozen other priests and bishops across the country contributed to this new prayer companion. And we told you how to get it. And if you want more information on that, you go to ALL.org/event, E-V-E-N-T, and you'll be able to find out all about it. And then we just announced on the Supreme Court decision this morning. Okay, I want to spend a little bit of time on some developments that are expected this coming week, dealing with the abortion pill. Okay. Now, I find whenever I talk about the abortion pill, people misunderstand and think I'm talking about the morning after pill. And while the morning after pill does cause abortions, it is not the abortion pill that we talk about. The morning after pill does not work after implantation. Once the newly created human being implants in the womb, the morning after pill does not do anything, okay? But the abortion pill does. The abortion pill, the brand name of the most widely circulated abortion pill is Mifeprex, all right? The chemical formulation is mifepristone. Right. For pro-lifers who have been around for decades, this is what used to be referred to as RU486. But this is the abortion pill, the pill that actually will cause a child who is already implanted in his mother's womb to die and then to be expelled from the womb through contractions, that take place because of a second drug that you take in the regimen. So we're talking about the abortion pill. When the abortion pill was approved, and in some places, by the way, this is called a chemical abortion. It's not, people get confused about a chemical abortion, so we refer to it as the abortion pill, as do many, many pro-life and pro-abortion groups across the country. When the abortion pill was first approved, it had to be prescribed by a medical professional with the authority to write prescriptions, and it had to be done in person. Now, there has been some developments over the years in terms of telehealth, where the prescription can actually be written in response to a telehealth meeting, but the pills itself have to be picked up from a medical facility. Now, the reason that this requirement was put in place by the Food and Drug Administration was to make sure that the woman who was picking up the pill had the opportunity to ask questions, and that the person, the medical professional who was delivering the pill to her when she came into the clinic or the doctor's office, could tell her, you know, what the side effects were going to be, what she should do, you know, if she had side effects, what she should watch out for that was more than just a simple side effect that might be an indication of something serious, so that she could get herself to a doctor or an emergency room quickly if any of these signs were showing up. And so that's why the need to go to a medical facility to pick up the pill was put in place. It has been in place. Now, during the pandemic, the Biden administration lifted the need for that meeting. It said that because of the pandemic and because of wanting to isolate people and not force people to get together in groups or to meet, you know, other people, that they would allow the pill to be mailed, okay? Which means they could get the prescription by way of telehealth, and then it could be mailed to them, and they would have to have no contact in person with any medical person. And the problem with that is they don't get the benefits of being in contact. They don't find out, you know, what they have to watch out for. They're not as well informed, because this is a dangerous drug. I mean, you're taking a drug that is going to kill the human being inside you. There are a lot of complications that can happen when you do that. And if you're not watching out for them, you may not know that you're in serious trouble until it's too late. And so the restrictions have been there. They were lifted temporarily during the pandemic. But the Food and Drug Administration has been asked by the Biden administration to change that rule permanently to allow that the pill can be mailed permanently. All right. Do away with that rule. The Food and Drug Administration in November filed a progress report and said that they anticipate being finished with their examination and being able to announce their results by December the 16th. Now, today is December the 10th, and so the December the 16th is next Thursday. Okay, so next week, the Food and Drug Administration, if they follow the schedule that they themselves put in place, will announce whether or not there is going to be this drastic permanent change in the rules for how the abortion pill can be distributed. And it is very concerning. It should be concerning to everybody. But of course, it's concerning to the pro-life people, because if the Food and Drug Administration comes out and permanently changes the rule, now abortion at home is going to be much more common. Receiving abortion pills in the mail is going to be much more common. There are some states that have already passed laws that said, no, you can't do this in our state. And that's a, you know, a good thing that, that they're doing that. But not all the states have done that. And therefore, in actually most of the states in the United States, it will be legal to simply mail the pills if the Food and Drug Administration changes the rules. Now, when you say if the Food and Drug Administration changes the rules, just understand that the Food and Drug Administration reports to the Department of Health and Human Services. And the Department of Health and Human Services is managed by the Biden administration. And the secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services is Xavier Becerra, who was a pro-abortion attorney general in the state of California before he was named to head up the Food and Drug Administration, is a known friend of Planned Parenthood and continued the lawsuits and the persecution of David Daleiden and the people in the Center for Medical Progress after he took over as California Attorney General from the former California Attorney General, who was Kamala Harris, who is now Vice President of the United States. So you can see how the pro-life world believes this is going to be changed. We will be pleasantly and thankful if it is not, but we're expecting that it's going to be changed. And you should expect that it's going to be changed. And there are 19 states that have banned mailing abortion pills to women in their state. But there are 31 who have not. Okay. So the majority of the states in the United States as of today do not ban this process, would allow this to happen. Now, I don't often read off lists of states on the show because it can get monotonous, but I want to do it this time because you know where you live. And you know the state that you live in. And so if I read off the name of the states that have banned this, you will know whether or not your state has banned it or not. And so let me just run through quickly, and it will be quickly, the 19 states that have banned the mailing of abortion pills through the mail. And those, I'll call them the good states, but the states that have banned this process, regardless of what the Food and Drug Administration says, are Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. If I named your state, then your state has rules in place to prevent the mailing of abortion pills to the women in your state. Of course, these are going to be challenged. We know that, and there are going to be court cases, et cetera. But as of today, those are the 19 states. And so if your state was mentioned, congratulations, you're ahead of the game. The rest of the 31 states, though, this is going to be wide open. And we encourage you to contact your senators, your state senators, your state representatives and say, we need to do something in our state to protect the women, to protect the babies, and to stop this process. And so we hope that you will do that, and we hope that that information was useful to you. Okay. There is another positive thing that has happened this week in Congress that I just want to inform you about and ask you to take some action among your own senators at the federal level and members of the House, but primarily senators at the federal level. There has been, of course, there are many, many bills in Congress, and there are many, many bills that we're fighting over and are removing pro-life protections. There is one particular one that has received a lot of attention. It's called the National Defense Authorization Act, okay? Abbreviated NDAA, right? So the National Defense Authorization Act. And obviously it has to do with the military, with the Army, you know, all of the agencies that defend the United States of America and all of the servicemen, et cetera, in there. There's a hotly contested new bill that has been trying to pass Congress for some time and has been meeting a lot of objections. And Tuesday of this week, negotiations between members of the Senate and a House committee, the House had previously passed a version of this act that was filled with problems for the pro-life world. Also, the act that they passed required that all women must sign up for the draft. This country has never drafted women into our armed forces. And we don't, you know, we have an all volunteer army now, but men are still required when they turn 18 to sign up for the draft. If there ever was a draft, that there would be a pool of people that they can call for. But women have never been required. But the act that is being contested right now in Congress requires that women be sign up for the draft, and also removes a lot of pro-life protections that are in previous versions of the bill. Well, after the negotiations really broke down on Tuesday of this week, the members of the House of Representatives and the members of the House and the Senate Armed Services Committee got together and drafted a new bill, right, which has since passed the House of Representatives. The new bill removes the requirement for women to register for the draft, or they call it the selective service, but you know we're talking about the draft. It removes the requirement, but it also adds back in all of the pro-life and pro-family items that were missing from the previous bill, all of the protections against using money to fund abortions or requiring abortions in the military. All of that has been added back into this new bill. It's still called the National Defense Authorization Act, but it's the new one that has been passed this week and is now going to the Senate for approval. And so that's a positive development. It says that the messages that you've been sending to Congress that says we want to stop what's going on here are being listened to. And things are happening, and this is one of the things that are happening that is positive. And so the takeaway from this is, number one, congratulations on all of you who have been contacting your members of Congress, just complaining about all the things that are going on. And maybe some of you specifically talked about the National Defense Authorization Act, but also to get to your senators, as all of you have two senators in Congress, depending on, you know, which state you're from, depends on who the people are, but every state has two senators, to get to the senators and to tell them to support the new bill that passed the House this week, the new National Defense Authorization Act, tell them you want them to support that and you know, get that message there so that the new bill, which has all the pro-life protections in it and also does not require women to register for selective service or the draft, that will pass. And so we invite you to take that action this week. Very important kind of thing and very, very needed activity. So we want you to do that. So there are some good things happening this week, right? We had the Supreme Court opinion issued that the Texas heartbeat law can continue to be enforced while all of the legal arguments are weeded out in court cases. That is positive, especially since the Biden administration, took on the effort to actually sue Texas and to demand that the Supreme Court stop this law from being in effect. They didn't. Okay, they didn't. That's the Supreme Court is saying, no, we are an independent body, right? The Constitution split the requirements between the administration, the president, and the administration, and the Congress, who passes the laws, and the judiciary. Who are the judges who decide whether or not laws are constitutional. And so we have these three separate pieces of government, and we're not going to sit here as the Supreme Court and let the president dictate to us what we must do. And that's needed at this point in time. We need to have these three independent entities. Now, there's always political pressure, between the White House and Congress, and that's a natural output. But the Supreme Court should be above that and should just be deciding things based on the Constitution. That's their job. And they said, let us do our job. Okay, so that is another positive development this week, that the Supreme Court is pushing back on the on what the administration wants it to do. So a good week that week. I want to, we always talk we're pro-life and we're pro-life activism from creation to death. And so we always want to talk about some activism. And actually, we've talked a couple of activism things here today so far, one being the book, and taking the activism and bringing prayer more fully into the pro-life battle, especially the battle outside of abortion facilities and the Marian Blue Wave Prayer Companion. We've talked about the need to get the laws passed and for you to take action there, to contact your senators. We talked about the need for action at the state level, if your state does not yet ban mailing abortion pills to women in your state, what's happening with this is, people don't necessarily realize, the abortion facilities are going to be replaced by people at home. Okay. We already, have a situation where, a lot of abortions are being done not in abortion facilities. In fact, the latest statistics out of the Center for Disease Control, they believe that more than half the abortions in the United States are done through the abortion pill, not through surgical abortion centers. Up until 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, you could say, well, abortions were done in surgical abortion facilities. Well, not anymore. According to the latest data, most abortions are done by pill, and they're generally done at home. Okay. And this, this change in the law to allow the pills to be mailed is going to be absolutely severe. And you'll never know, how many houses in your neighborhood are actually killing babies right there in the house. Right. And as some pro-life groups and cases, in defiance of state laws on the disposal of human remains, in most cases, women are being instructed to flush the aborted baby down the toilet and into the sewer system, which means it winds up in your sewer plants. Who knows where it goes from there. So it's a very serious problem that's only going to get worse if we don't take action. Well, there's another action point coming up, and it's coming up, in about 18 days, in exactly 18 days. It's not Christmas. It's after Christmas, and it's before New Year's, and the date is December the 28th. And December the 28th is recognized, right, as the day for the day of the innocents, right? The feast of the holy innocents. And the feast of the holy innocents commemorates that time in history when all of the young boys were slaughtered to try to kill Jesus. Okay? Herod was afraid of Jesus. He was afraid of the Messiah. And when he got word from the wise men that the Messiah had been born, he first tried to trick the wise men into telling him where Jesus was so that he could go and pay homage, when what he really wanted to do was go and kill him. But when that didn't work and he realized that, he then ordered that all young boys under the age, I believe it was of 4 at the time, would be killed. And that was the time that an angel appeared to Joseph and said, take the Christ child into Egypt to escape from Herod's plan. And so Joseph and Mary took Jesus into Egypt, where they stayed for a lengthy period of time. The general consensus is about 7 years before they were able to return. And during that time, Herod slaughtered the young boys, and we have the Feast of the Holy Innocents. And of course, in today's world, the Feast of the Holy Innocents is used as a special day to remember all the babies killed by abortion. And that feast is coming up on December the 28th, 3 days after Christmas. And so we invite you to put that on your calendar, to find out what is going on in your community on December the 28th, and to join in on it. And if you can't find anything that's happening, then start something, all right? Say, no, we have to have something. Even if it's a prayer service at your church, just gather, say a rosary. If that's it, you use the Marian Blue Wave Companion, although it probably won't be available for this year's December 28th, because it'll be available in January. That's what our printers tell us. But do something on December the 28th, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, to remember the babies, to remember the at least 800,000 babies killed in the United States every year. Right? Some put that number higher, some put it a little lower, but it's at least 800,000 babies that are killed every year in the United States. December 28th is an excellent day to remember them. So schedule your pro-life activities for that day. Okay. So we're going to be wrapping up our show here. We hope that our information that we've given you on the Marian Blue Wave Prayer Companion, on the Supreme Court decision or opinion allowing the Texas law to remain in effect while the court cases progress on that, okay, have been encouraging to you. We hope that the new law on the National Defense Authorization Act that was passed this week by the House of Representatives will pass the Senate. We invite you to pray. Pray for the pro-life movement. Pray for the babies. And on that note, we're going to end our program the way we always end our program, and that is by asking our Blessed Mother, Mother of God, please spread the effective grace of your flame of love over all of humanity now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you so much for listening.